Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
That's me. Yes. Good evening, 7:04.
7:04.
Sunday night, which
Shock
means...
Shock Therapy Live.
That's right.
It's a good night.
It is a good night. And it is live. We are in studio, 505-338-3700. The phone number, if you would like to give us a call. Or, as always, you can very easily... email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, or, of course, Facebook always works, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Yeah, so, we're very thankful to be here.
So here's what's going to happen tonight.
Okay.
If someone calls and asks a stupid question, I'm going to do this.
That was a stupid question.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Can do. There are no stupid questions. Just... unasked question.
And if there's a really good question, I'm going to do this.
What was that? Wouldn't that
it's
be
a siren.
Good question?
No, that's good.
Ow!
It's like you're a winner. It's like,
I like
you're a winner.
Brain. Yeah. So,
you're a winner.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hey, man. How are you?
Good. How are you, Steve-O?
I feel like it's been 9 years since I've seen you. And
I know.
That sucks.
I know.
So, yeah, I apologize for us not being here last week. Sickness and suckage. And I was in Tennessee last week and glad to be home.
Tennessee. The uprising. How was that? Was that fun?
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, our dear friend Kevin Miller threw down a... an outreach event called The Uprising. Brian Head Welch was there with his new band, Love and Death. And,
how was the turnout?
I don't know. 1,000 people?
Dude,
I don't
awesome.
Know. So it was pretty packed.
A lot of people accept Christ?
A lot of people came forward. Oh man, it was absolutely incredible. The weather
was
beautiful, and I hate New Mexico even more now.
Dude, well, you were gone for all the great weather.
Yeah, apparently. It was like 85 out there.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic out here. It was like 75 this past week. It was so nice and toasty. And then because we live in New Mexico, like the next day it's
miserable. Well, I brought it with me because I was camped
out in
DFW. For hours because the flight was delayed because of poor weather. So I feel TFK and Nine Lashes being stuck in Denver. It sucks, and I know how that feels.
Do you know that I have a general antipathy towards Texas?
Really?
Yeah.
I was born there.
I have an antipathy towards it for this reason.
I don't even know the meaning of the word, antipathy.
This is the reason why I do it.
No, really, what's antipathy
mean? It's
like
a general, like, dislike.
Okay. Why?
For this reason.
Okay.
Every time I fly through Texas, I get some kind of weather delay through Dallas.
Yeah.
I've had more weather delays in Dallas, Texas than anywhere else.
You should just have a hatred for DFW because I was stuck there for 5-6 hours.
No, it's just Texas in general.
No, I'm pretty sure it's DFW.
No, I don't like Texas. I got a ticket one time driving in Texas and that didn't help either.
Man!
And also, I drove to Texas one time and the first like 2 hours I was in the Texas border smelled like poop.
Wow.
Manure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True story. So, anyways, hey, if you'd like to join the conversation, 505-338-3700. If you're brand new to Shock Therapy Live, it is our one-hour call-in show centered around you. What do you want to talk about? Maybe you were going through your Bible this week and read something that was confusing, or maybe you're struggling with something. You don't know how to get through it, or maybe you're dealing with a stupid friend or whatever it is. That's what we're here for, 505-338-3700.
Yes.
Or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, we will respect that. studio@mystaticradio.com is our email.
You know, it's really cool. We love hearing from you guys, and we love seeing what God's doing in your lives. We had a show several weeks back where we talked about homosexuality, and it was really neat to see what God did. Over the past few weeks, I've had about 4 or 5 different men come up to me and confess that they struggle with homosexuality and that they heard the show and they want to know where they can get help.
Wow.
They've never confessed. confessed it, never talked about it to anyone else. And, you know, it's just cool to see God work in that way. So if you're struggling with something, give us a call. Let us help you through it. And hopefully it'll help people that are listening as well. You know, you might have something going on in your life that you think you're isolated in that no one else is dealing with. And if you call in, or you put it on Facebook and we can help you with it, it might help so many more people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always reminded of 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says there is nothing that has overtaken you that is not common to man. You know, God
except
is faithful.
Wookiees.
Except Wookiees, because that is not common to man. However, there is no sin in your life. There is nothing that has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He knows. And so no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, you're not alone in that. And I felt that way for a very long time. I thought no one would understand my struggles because I thought I was the only one that dealt with it on the level I did. And so I was very shut in. And I love the idea of being unshockable, being that unshockable friend that I know that if I'm dealing with something, I have a solid group of friends that I can go to and say, hey, I'm dealing with this right now. And I know they won't be like, what? How dare you? I thought you were a Christian, you know?
Yeah.
We need that for each other. And so that's the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this is that stepping stone for you. Maybe this is that point where, you know what? I haven't confessed this. I need to. Maybe it's anonymously through the email. Maybe it's on the phone line, 505-338-3700. Yep. But that's the purpose. We're here to hang out. We're here to just chat.
I think we should rewrite that verse, though.
Which
there is nothing that is overtaking you that is not common to man, except for the rancor. Right? There should be a Star Wars version of the Bible.
There should be. That would be hilariously awesome. And we'd make a lot of money on it, except we may go to hell.
Probably.
Yeah. So
probably.
Would that be exploiting God's word?
I think so.
I kind of think that would be, yeah. So maybe we won't write
I don't know. They have a fireman's Bible. Why can't they have a Star Wars Bible?
Well, yeah. Because there's actually real firemen, I'm thinking.
Okay. And there's not real Jedi? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's kind of what I'm trying to tell you.
Crap.
All right. We got a question, and I emailed in, and I'm going to read this to you right now.
All right.
I'm going to.
Did it just get emailed right now?
No. No, it's the email question that I haven't shared this fully with you, but... It says, hi guys, I have a question for Nate and Steve-O. My question, first, I'll give you some background. I'm supposed to be scheduled to get my wisdom teeth out this summer. My dentist told me that everyone will eventually have to get their wisdom teeth out when they're older. It's apparently impossible to clean back there, so if you keep them, you can get gum disease, tooth decay, and so on. So it's best to do it now. I know it might sound kind of silly, but I'm really struggling with this because I don't understand why God would make us with something that we all have to get rid of. If it's something that God wants in my body, I want to keep it. Maybe impacted wisdom teeth are a part of this fallen world just as diseases are. Maybe we're not supposed to have wisdom teeth at all. Why would God give us wisdom teeth? Just curious what your thoughts were. Thank you.
Go to the dentist. Now.
That's your answer for that big, long question?
Okay. You know, I think this is so funny because we say, why would God give us this? Why would God give us that? Maybe, like, before Adam and Eve did a stupid thing and ate fruit that they shouldn't have eaten, we wouldn't have gotten impacted wisdom teeth. I don't know. Maybe the wisdom teeth are a part of the fall. You know, I think that's like saying, why would God have someone born with cancer? Well, if they're born with cancer, they're born with AIDS. Maybe God wants them to keep AIDS because that's awesome because they were born with that. I don't think that's a very valid reason that just because you're born with something means that you're supposed to have it.
Right.
You know, I think that a lot of these things, and I think wisdom teeth being impacted and causing other crappy stuff in your mouth has to do with the fall. You know, I'm sure we'd all have beautiful straight teeth if it wasn't for Adam and Eve eating that candy apple that rotted mankind's teeth. But I think that, you know, I think that, there's some people that I know that have their wisdom teeth and they've had them forever, and there's others that they don't have their wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we can't base it just because we say we were born with it. You know, we're born with an umbilical cord connected to us. I think it'd be really weird if I saw some dude walking around with his umbilical cord hanging out. Hey, what's that coming out of your shirt?
Wow.
Oh, that's my UB. What? Oh yeah, my umbilical cord. Oh, that's disgusting. Like, what if you, like kept it in, like, a jar of formaldehyde at night
Gross,
or something? Like, you know what I mean?
Dude.
I'm just saying, just because you're created with it doesn't mean you're supposed to walk around with it every day.
That's hilarious. God loves us enough to change us? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
From the inside and the outside?
Go to the dentist.
Yeah. Seriously, go to the dentist because I got my wisdom teeth out a long time ago. And
I did, too.
I'm so thankful I did.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
It really was miserable.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I have them gone now.
Yeah, me too. So hopefully that helps you with that because, yeah, I think that was a good one. What about double-jointed people? They can't do anything about it. They're just kind of double-jointed. Are you double-jointed anywhere?
No. Yeah. Are you?
No, I'm not cool. No.
Yeah. I don't know.
Can you do, like, weird things with your tongue? Look, can you do the...
I can do... You want to see something really weird? Yeah. Watch this. Look at my mouth.
What is that?
Yeah, I can stick my tongue back up into my nasal cavity.
That's weird, dude!
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you can't do the, you know, you can make it like a taco thing. Oh, you can! I can't do that. I can't do anything cool.
I can touch my nose with my tongue, too. You want to watch that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you're weird.
Yeah, I got like Gene Simmons tongue.
I was just about to say that. Wow. And for everyone who has no idea who that is, that's from the band Kiss. Anyways, welcome to Shock Therapy Live, our show of nothingness tonight, because, well, the weather sucks, and apparently causing TFK and Nine Lashes not to get to go to the Sunshine Theater, also causing people not to want to call in on Shock Therapy Live. 505-338-3700, the phone number. I realize
if you're listening right now,
shame on you. Call us right now.
I think, you know, spring break ends. Tomorrow's the first day of school, so maybe people are actually, like, trying to get back on schedule.
Yeah, by the way, if you heard the beginning of the show and it said, check out Renovate on Thursday nights at the El Rey Theater, don't do that because you'll be standing in the cold at the El Rey Theater.
Yeah, it's actually
We've
at the
moved.
Lobo.
We're at the Lobo now. So, yeah. So don't go to the El Rey Theater anymore. Not good.
Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, I got a couple of comments that I wanted to add about the wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we have a tendency to adapt, even though we're all made in God's image, and possibly because we don't have to have so much dirt in our food, we don't need that back wisdom teeth to grind and masticate our food. We have tenderizers, we can slow roast everything, so it's sort of like a small adaptation,
like the peppered moth.
Anything, you know, but
the peppered moth, I'll explain it in a second.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why we don't really need those anymore.
That's a great comment.
You know, if somebody really is going to have their wisdom teeth out, if they eat pineapple and take 50 milligrams of zinc 3 times a day, then it'll come out like butter, really.
What?
Well,
it's sort of like meat tenderizer.
There you go.
I like pineapple.
But I do have another comment on something that happened on a show about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
There's a young lady that called in, and... she's going through some very difficult times. She had 2 kids, and, you know, she had a very hard childhood.
Yes, we talked about that lady,
and, you know, I wanted to add that even though she went through all these difficult times, you know, she got a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a dynamic young woman. She's held a job. Mm-hmm. She has beautiful children. You know, she needs to, you know, maybe if she stopped and looked at those blessings, that it's going to open up to new divisions for her later on in life,
right.
You know, that would be very, very helpful, you know, that she could go on to help somebody maybe that's in a parallel situation.
You know, I agree, and that's a good thing to look at, but I think we also as Christians have to balance things out to a certain point. You know, there's a time and a place for everything, and when she called on the phone, you know, she was very brokenhearted, and I've known a lot of Christians, and by the way, I'm not saying that this is you in any way, shape, or form. I just think it brings up a valid point. I've known a lot of Christians who, when they experience someone else in pain, their first response is, hey, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, or hey, for every cloud there's a silver lining, or you know, and they try to give some contrite thing of why they should have joy when, you know, biblically, when Jesus encountered people who were suffering, he empathized with them. He sympathized with them. And then through that relationship with him, he brought the joy there. So, you know, it's a very good thing when we come out of suffering to look back at the end of suffering and say, man, now that I'm out of that suffering, I can see what God did. And now I can use it to bring joy and help other people. But when we're in that time of suffering, sometimes all we need is someone to listen to us. Say, man, I'm so sorry. I can't tell you anything. Oh, well, that's like this in my life, or that's like that. Sometimes you just need to hear, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's happening to you.
I love what you said about being able to help other people, because I think for a long time, I grew up in a very similar situation where my childhood was definitely interesting, to say the least, and always kind of held on to some bitterness about it. And to be able to let that go and to be able to now go to other people who may be dealing with it like that lady and say, hey, this is what God pulled me through, and this is where you know, how he rescued me from that. And this is what's come from that. I agree. It's awesome to be able to use that past suffering for God's glory and, you know, bring about joy in someone else.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's just a good thing. We just as Christians have to balance it, because my dad's always said, walk softly around broken hearts.
Yeah.
And this concept that, you know, I think a lot of people can become jaded to Christians because we can be so in the mindset of, oh, we'll just find joy in that situation. And I actually talked to a guy on the phone. I was counseling him on the phone one time. And I said, hey, there's a church where you're at. You should go check it out. Talk to a pastor. You know, they're locally where you are, and they can give you great counsel. And his first response was, they're not going to read me Job or something and tell me his life was worse, are they? That was his first response. And I think we as Christians can do that without even realizing it. Sometimes we can say, oh, well, have you heard of Job?
Right.
And Job, you know, his friend said, curse God and die. And he said, no. And we can kind of hyper-spiritualize this and keep in mind that, yeah, Job was like the one guy that God was boasting of on the entire earth. I don't think God's doing that for me necessarily. So maybe I shouldn't use him as an illustration for someone else's life and what they should do. And keep in mind, Job came to a point where he wanted to curse God and die, where he was angry and he was mad, and God had to give him a perspective check.
Yeah.
So I just think, you know, it is good. We want to find the joy, and we want to find, really the light at the end of the tunnel, but there's a time and a place for everything. And I think as Christians, we need to keep that in mind.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, again, you know, she seemed like a very blessed individual.
Yeah,
I mean,
she was awesome.
She took lot of pride in her kids and
did
everything. She's dynamic.
We talked to her for a long time afterwards,
I was going to say, after the show, we got to spend a solid half hour with her just hanging out, talking, and God is doing some amazing things in her life, so very cool.
Hey, thank you for calling us and keeping us company on this lonely night.
That's right. Thanks for listening.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a great night. All right, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Or you can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Dude, it's, I think because it's the end of spring break, even I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Matt, pray for Matt, everyone, the old man, supposed to be back tomorrow from spring break, not going to be here in the morning for the morning show.
Why?
Because, Arizona, basically, where he was driving in between Arizona and New Mexico, they closed the highway because of the weather.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
No! My partner is not here, and I don't have a co-host for the show!
Do you want me to come be your partner?
Yeah, will you really?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's your day off.
What time?
Come in. 6:30.
That's stupid. That's dumb.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. You're in the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. I thought I should call and tell you I'll be your co-host, Steve-O.
Oh, okay. That's tomorrow. I'm just going to have everybody call in and play co-host.
Okay.
So.
Can I just point out here about the TFK? I'm actually on my way over there really soon.
Yeah, just found out. They're stuck in Denver along with Nine Lashes, so unfortunately they will not be playing tonight is what I'm being told.
Well, then that'll mean that Red and, like, maybe Manifest will be playing longer, eh?
Yep, very much so, and they have a huge production, I hear, so.
Oh, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. All right, well, real quick, because I thought maybe I could, provoke the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about myself personally, but I know that when it comes to infidelity, that, you know, that the person who the offense was committed against has every biblical reason to be out, and you know, I just wanted to know, like, a pastor's point of view on how long should one stay married. I mean, I think it's a personal thing between that person and God, but I guess, you know, I have pastors who have prayed for others in a broken marriage and saying, well, we want the marriage apart because, you know, the devil celebrates divorce, not God, no matter what the situation is. If, you know, a person can come to repentance and renew their heart, obviously their heart wasn't new in Christ or they wouldn't have cheated, whatever. But, you know, really, is there a biblical, you know, time frame, I mean, that a person should stay married?
Yeah, Jesus gave it to us.
Yeah.
How many times should we forgive our brother? Is 7 times enough? No, 70 times 7. So I think as long as there is repentance, there needs to be forgiveness.
Absolutely.
If there comes a place in a marriage or a relationship where infidelity is present without repentance, well, then the forgiveness You know, you can still forgive them in your heart, but that's when you say, you know what, it's time for us to call it quits. Biblically, you know, you're not repentant. You know, for instance, I counsel people, sometimes the guy will come in, the guy cheated on the girl wants to forgive him, and the guy's like, no, I don't care, I just want to do what I want to do. Okay, in that situation, you need to let that person go. But then at the same time, I've encountered situations where they come in repentant, and they want to repair the marriage, and in that case, I would say forgive. You know, keep in mind that, infidelity is the only reason that you can get divorced biblically in the Bible. But it's still not the preferable outcome. The preferable outcome is still forgiveness. The preferable outcome is still reconciliation. But, it has that stipulation in there that if reconciliation isn't possible due to a lack of repentance, or due to a lack of sincere repentance, then divorce is a possibility. But, I would say that biblically the best thing is what Jesus said. So as long as there is repentance, there should be forgiveness in my opinion.
Does that help you
out? Okay, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I want to preface that by saying true repentance. You know, you can say I'm sorry and not have a true repentance, but if there's true repentance of the heart, and you sincerely want to repent, you sincerely want to change things, then I believe there should be forgiveness.
Yeah.
If you just say I'm sorry so that things will get better temporarily, well, that's a lie, and God sees through that, and people see through that. So true repentance.
Yeah, and I would
behavior.
I would seek Matthew 19 on that one, where Jesus was talking, where he was teaching about divorce, because it does talk about how infidelity is the only reason, but even says, well, you know, why did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce? And, you know, he said, well, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so.
Mm.
You know, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And I know many families who have fought through, and it's a lot of work, fought through and come out on the other end because they said, you know what, I've made a vow, and even though this person broke their vow, I made a vow to God for better or worse till death do us part.
Yeah.
And has stayed married because from the beginning it wasn't so.
Yeah.
And so, it's allowed for divorce, you know, for adultery, but.
And I would take it one step further too. True repentance should lead to true forgiveness.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of couples that there's true repentance and the person will say, well, I forgive you, we'll stay married. And then that person holds it over the other person's head for the rest of their lives.
Right.
They say, well, it's just not the same anymore. It's never going to be the same. I can't look at you the same way. I can't trust you. You know, if there's true repentance, there needs to be true forgiveness. And if you can't truly forgive that person, then that's the reason there's divorce. That's the reason that you can divorce in that situation, because it's not fair to either one if there can't be true repentance and true forgiveness.
And
so
then we go the other route, true forgiveness, but not true repentance.
Yes, exactly. So you have to have both.
Yeah.
You know,
the other way.
There has to be both. There has to be true repentance and true forgiveness together if it's ever going to work after infidelity.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We're a few minutes behind, but when we come back, more of your questions.
I'm having fun. This is going by quick.
I know. We got an email that we'll get to right around the break. If you would like to get your question in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Of course, phone calls the quickest, 505-338-3700, or email us, studio@mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? Yes? Build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, chime in now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Sweet. That's us. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate in studio, hanging out with you, taking your phone calls, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or email us. We've gotten a couple of both, actually. So where do you want to, where would you like to begin? You want to do the email or you want to do the Facebook?
Let's do the Facebook.
Okay. What's Facebook say?
Facebook says, I ask you guys a lot of questions. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I have another one. What are your views on the book The Shack? I never read it, but Christians have said it's horrible, and others say it's great. I've never read the book.
Oh, man. Okay.
I've never read the book, but I have heard a lot of crazy things about it, and I think it's funny. Like, some Christians say it's awesome, some Christians say it's bad. I think you can tell what kind of Christians they are by how they view The Shack. That's like become the new way. Like, hey, so what church do you go to? Oh, so-and-so church. Oh, have you read The Shack? Yeah, what do you think about it? And then whatever they say, you can tell, like, what kind of Christian they are from that. Don't you think that that's, don't you, we should try that.
I don't want to judge all other Christians who enjoyed it, but I will say.
My buddy, hey, Dave read it.
What did he say?
I don't know. What do you think about it? What do you think about it,
Dave? I kind of want him to call in.
I do, too.
Because I'd love to know his thoughts.
We don't have anyone on the phone, Dave.
505-338-3700. I'll tell you, you know, my thoughts on it. I read it, and on one level, I understand. Because I remember a dear friend of mine and pastor who, in fact, I just got back from his church.
Kevin Miller?
Yeah, and he did a whole sermon on it, and he... on one level, on one front said, dude, as far as forgiveness goes, you know, he did this whole entire sermon on it and thought, okay, on this level, I get that. However, he had the same issues that I had because, you know, God is basically Aunt Jemima. She's a big, huge, you know.
That's who God is, right?
African-American lady, and it's like, what? I thought God was going to look like Gandalf. Oh, God's not man or woman. And okay, cool. But then they personify her as a female, and it's not about the female. It wasn't that. The Holy Spirit was this little Asian thing that you couldn't even see. It was like really little short Asian girl. And then Jesus was like this, you know, carpenter dude. I don't know. Basically, my take on it is this. If you're looking for a deep theological book, you're not going to find it. There were many, many flaws, theologically speaking. You know, God, I was just incensed and tried to keep reading and did, but what really bothered me the most about the book was God, not Jesus Christ. God had, God the Father had the scars and had the holes in his hands. And the guy in question, you know, who's in the shack with the Trinity says, wait a minute, you know, I thought you turned your back on your son when he was on the cross. And God says, well, it's funny how people perceive things when all they can see is their pain. To say that Jesus was mistaken, that God did not turn his back on him at the cross, which is theologically very whack because if Jesus was mistaken, that means he was fallible. That means he's not perfect.
It's almost Gnosticism.
That means he's not the Son of God. That means he's not God.
Yeah.
That means he's not, you know what I mean? It's, and
it places so, too much emphasis on the humanity, not the deity of Christ.
Absolutely. And so that to me theologically was enough for me to put up the red flags and say, no, you know what? That's absolutely incorrect. Theologically speaking, it's absolutely incredible.
I just didn't like the part where they use the F word in the book.
Stop it. Forgiveness? So for me, on that level, I could not get into it because theologically it was very vach. However, I get, you know, a lot of people...
Is that like a Jewish phrase?
A lot of people loved it because they... You know, the deep level of forgiveness and wow, what the guy went through and man, that's amazing to have to forgive I understand that. Wow is right. Yes, that would be amazing, but theologically speaking, it was whack. So
you know what I liked better than The Shack was Brick House.
Okay.
It was a really good one. Remember that one?
No.
She's a brick house. She's mighty, mighty.
That one. That was the one that I liked.
Thank you so much, Dominic, for your question on Facebook. Wow, you were fired from life. Amazing. So if you'd like to chime in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also give us a call, 505-338-3700. Or email us, just like this person did.
Yeah. Kevin asks us this question. Oh, man, I totally said the name. It's like,
well, it was because Kevin...
If the girlfriend's listening, I was like, what? He wants to break up with me? Oh, I'm so going to kill him. He's going to get a punch in the face. Sorry, dude. Totally sold you out. he says this. It's time that I break up with my current girlfriend, but I don't want to destroy a good friendship. What would be the best way to do this?
Oh.
Man. Have you thought about changing zip codes? That's a good start. Well,
on a serious note, here's what I would say. Honestly, he wants to break up with his girlfriend, but he wants
current girlfriend, but he wants
to keep a good friendship. I would want to know the motives. Why are you breaking up with your girlfriend? Is this something that you feel like God has placed on your heart? I remember a long time ago, a dear friend of mine just felt like God wanted him to be single, flat out. Like, I'm in a great relationship, but I don't feel like this is the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. but I love this person dearly. She's an incredible friend. How do I do this? And it's like, dude, you say exactly what you just told me. You know, if this is something that God has placed on your heart and this person truly cares about you and this is something that you really feel Christ leading on your life, like if the Holy Spirit is leading you, hey, this is what you should be doing, dude, then tell her that. And if that's the truth, then right on. Now, of course, if you freaking use that as an excuse and that's not the truth, I'll go find you and smack you myself because that's lame.
Yeah, I would say this is all very personal for this reason. I've always said that in a relationship, if you develop a relationship starting centered around Christ, and you start out becoming really good friends, you start out, you begin every day by praying, you keep yourself sexually pure, then if the relationship doesn't work out, you've already developed a natural good friendship centered around Christ.
Right.
So I think that's key. Now, if in this relationship you've given yourself to one another sexually, it's not centered around Christ, and it's not a healthy relationship, then there's no way this relationship is going to end in a way that you guys are still friends. Because we in America have the tendency to create in these dating relationships mini marriages. And what I mean by that is that we get so tied to each other emotionally, sexually, we give ourselves to one another, that what we do is we create these little mini marriages. Then what happens inevitably when we break up, it's like a mini divorce.
Right.
Complete with toaster ovens at the head, yelling, name calling, you know, Facebook defriending, the whole nine yards. It's a mini divorce.
Right.
The question is, how is your relationship? If your relationship is currently not biblically centered, if it's not centered around Christ, if you're sexually involved with one another, you're not going to be able to stay friends with her. I promise you that.
Right.
And it's just going to get ugly. But if it has been a healthy, God-centered relationship, then it should very easily and naturally maintain friends. Because if God brought you together and you say, look, I feel God lead me in another direction, that should be something that's understandable to her and to you. And it should be something that should naturally lead to a friendship or at least a brother-sister-like relationship in Christ.
That's right. Hope that helps, Brian.
No, his name was Kevin.
Stop it! I'm trying to...
Oh, crap. Crap.
Yeah, so I agree 100%. So there it is. And definitely before you do anything, man, pray about it. Take it to God and truly seek him because I agree 100%.
What does the Shack say about that? Does it have any insight on that situation?
Probably not. Probably not. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you would like to chime in on the conversation.
Oh,
you can also give us a call.
We're tapped out on questions.
505-338.
Steve-O, I have a question.
3700. Yeah.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
Okay.
What does God think about World of Warcraft?
What does God think about World of Warcraft?
Yeah. What does he think about that, Steve-O?
I don't think he's really...
I used to play, but I repented of it.
Ah! That's because...
Do you play?
Here's the thing.
Do you play World of Warcraft?
If you take it in moderation... And you don't devote 18,000 hours of your life to it every single week, then maybe it's totally cool.
What's an appropriate amount of hours?
I don't think necessarily World of Warcraft is a sin in and of itself.
Let's just have a hypothetical. A Saturday during the day.
Five hours.
Okay, that's too
that's
much.
That's way too much.
Okay. Yeah. How much did you play this past Saturday?
Probably about 6 hours.
Oh, man.
I'm just Not true. However, yeah. You know what the funny thing is? I was just having a conversation about that very thing, World of Warcraft. Because it can be very time consuming.
Yeah.
And to a point where it's like, people call it crack. It's my online crack, you know? And it can be very dangerous. Because
so is Mario.
Yeah. So, or any video game in general. Video game in and of itself is not necessarily a sin. It's a time waster. I'm sure there's 1,000 other things you could be doing with your time. I think of the parable of burying your talents, unless your talent is leveling up in Warcraft.
Mm.
But
are you talking about your talent tree or your talent?
And all nerds just high-fived each other and rejoiced. That was amazing.
That was so cool. They tied in World of Warcraft into Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, somebody just asked a question, though. What is World of Warcraft about? Does it have types of witchcraft in it?
Yeah, the same type of witchcraft that that Lord of the Rings and the same type of witchcraft that the Chronicles of Narnia has.
I was going to say Harry Potter, but no, totally different.
Totally different.
You're right. It doesn't necessarily have a witchcraft in it, but yeah,
It's like, basically, if you play World of Warcraft, it's like stepping into Lord of the Rings. Literally. Like, in every way, basically World of Warcraft.
Orcs,
like,
and
read,
elves.
They read Lord of the Rings, and they're like, oh, that's really cool, we should do a game on that.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
And rip it off.
Dwarves and gnomes.
Even where, like, the dwarves live, inside, like, the inside the giant mountain. It's a complete ripoff of Lord of the Rings.
True story. And or The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite book of all time.
Same fictional world, Fantasyland.
Yeah, so there it is.
You know, this is the difference between, like, I think World of Warcraft and other video games. Mario is super addicting. My wife and I... We got the new Mario for Wii, and it's super,
Mario Party?
Super fun. No, not Mario Party. It's actually Mario. Like, it's the old school Mario where you side-scroll. Oh, it's so fun. But we played it, like, religiously until we beat it. And then you beat it, and you have the satisfaction, like, okay, I'm done. World of Warcraft literally is like crack because you never get the satisfaction of winning. It's never ending. So it's like an illicit drug where you're like, oh, I need more, I need more, I need more, and you're never satisfied.
Yeah.
There's never like, oh man, that was the perfect amount. No, you constantly need more until you overdose and die from staring at a screen for 24
True
hours.
True story, which
guy
has
literally
happened.
Died.
So there, yeah. So any speaking of moderation.
So what
yeah.
you're saying that drugs are okay in moderation? Then is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that drugs are okay in moderate. However, you know what? Yes, I am, because they're called prescriptions, and some prescriptions are definitely beneficial for you.
Yeah.
Stop trying to trap me. I'm going to slap you tonight. Facebook.com/mystaticradio.
You should
if you'd like to chime in.
You should just go watch Breaking Bad.
Or, of course. Whatever. You know you want to race home because the season finale of Walking Dead is on tonight. Jerk.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, see? Don't even give me that. Trying
Sunday night.
Okay, anonymous. We got an anonymous email. Anonymous. It even says keep
no,
it anonymous.
I see the name of the person right there.
I know you do.
No, so. It says the name right there.
What's the question that we were asked?
The question from... I'm just joking. Okay, let's see. Hey, it's a really nice subject line. The subject is, thanks for all you do, questions for you.
Oh, cool.
Question for you. Thanks for all you do, question for you. Hey, thank you. Question is this. Hey, guys, I had a question. Why do I feel so far from God and that he doesn't love me? I have been struggling with my faith for months now and have found no peace. No matter how long I get on my knees and pray or stay in his word, I feel like I am not saved and that I have never been saved. I have been saved for 6 years now. Thanks, Anonymous.
I wish you'd call in.
I do too, because it's a good question, but it's once again a very personal question. It's a question that, you know, realistically, I can't answer without knowing the whole story. Why do I feel so far from God and that he doesn't love me? I don't know why you feel so far away from God and why you feel like he doesn't love you, because he does, and he is close to those who draw near to him. When we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And so I can't say personally why you don't feel a certain way, because I don't know how you feel. I can't be inside your emotions or inside of your mind. But I do know this. I know that as long as we are plugged into God, he is plugged into us. You know, we think of the illustration that Jesus gives us in Matthew, that a vine, and that a vine that is connected to the tree bears forth much fruit. And that we are, as long as we're connected to Jesus, we bear forth much fruit. But I will say this at the same time. Sometimes we as Christians can mistake a relationship with God with, passion. Or with emotion. What I mean by that is, when we first come to Christ, there's such passion and emotion there. Maybe you're in an altar call, a message really speaks to you, you realize how much of a sinner you are, and you come to the altar, tears streaming down your face,
the worship
crying.
Leader's playing the guitar.
You're so in tune with Christ, and you give your life to him, and you feel immediately so passionate, like you want to conquer the world, you want to go to India and save orphans and preach the gospel. And then what happens, inevitably, like any relationship, whether it's with God or someone else, the emotion deteriorates over time. And that is that passion. Think about when you get in a relationship with a boy or a girl. At first, it's so passionate. You have the butterflies in your stomach. Everything's great. Everything's awesome. But eventually, that emotion passes. And I've always heard, and I use it all the time, is that love is not a passing emotion. Love is a constant devotion. And our relationship with Christ sometimes is difficult. Sometimes we feel like God isn't there. Sometimes we feel like we can't hear him. You know, I think of Elijah. He was in a really dark place. We think of Elijah as a great man. But he was in an extremely dark place where his life was wanted by a wicked queen, where he was was running and fleeing from false prophets, and he ran to the wilderness, not hearing from God, feeling like God's voice wasn't there, and it said that he sought the voice of God, and he looked for it in the big, mighty things, probably the things that he'd experienced in his past. You know, Elijah experienced fire from heaven, he experienced miracles, he experienced rain when he called for it, and he goes into the wilderness, and it says that he sought God's voice in the thunder, and God's voice was not there. Says he sought God's voice in the fire and his voice was not there. He sought God in the wind and his voice was not there. He sought God in an earthquake and his voice was not there. And it says God came once all that huge stuff had stopped. God came and he spoke in a still small voice. And I think sometimes when we're in a spiritually dark place, we can look for God's voice in the thunder, the lightning, the fire. We can say, God, if you're there, speak to me. And we can expect God to come smack us with like a Holy Spirit jujitsu to the face. And we think that God's going to like just come down and rock our world in some passionate, igniting way, like when we first got saved. We have to keep in mind, when we place expectations on how God should move, when we put those expectations on God that he should move this way or that way, he seldom, if ever, does. He does it in the opposite way. So sometimes what God's waiting for us to do is to stop looking for the big miracles, the huge emotion, the huge passion, and he wants us to just stop and wait for him to speak to us in a still small voice. And so it's in those times that it's even more necessary to pray, read your Bible, get plugged into fellowship than it is at any other time, because love is not a passing emotion. Love is a constant devotion.
Yeah, I think of the times where I come home exhausted and the last thing I want to do is maybe do some laundry or put the, you know, put the dishes away, or, you know, but I know that it will be pleasing to my wife, even though in the moment I may not be feeling like that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's what I do, because I know at the end of the day, it's going to make for a better relationship. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? And I think, I think a lot of times, I went through this. I went through this myself. Like, where are you? Because, I'm not super freaking out excited right now.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find you, God, and doing all these crazy things. And what stuck out to me immediately was from Hebrews chapter 11 is my faith was wavering. Plain as day, and maybe that's what's going on with this anonymous emailer here, because I think of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, dude, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because whoever would draw near to God, one must believe he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Mm-hmm. And I know in that time it was like, all right, God, where are you? If you're there, do something, say something, be something, you know. And when he didn't show up in that 7-second expectation I had, I was disappointed and felt like, well, God had been removed from me. But it's because I was not believing his promises. Huh. He promises he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But I wasn't believing it. And so I was like, well, God hasn't changed. God's still the same. God's still there. So what is it inside of you? So that's a good reminder.
I would say that as well, because, you know, you're talking about that you're doubting your salvation, you don't feel like you're saved or that you've ever been saved, but you've been saved for 6 years. I would say that's probably a really good indication, a lack of faith, because it's one thing to read the Bible, it's another thing to stand on its promises.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if you're reading your Bible every day. The question is, are you standing on the promises? Are you standing on the promise that once we're in the hand of God, we can never be snatched out? Are you standing on the promise that God draws near to us if we draw near to him? Are you standing on the truth of God's word, or are you just reading it, letting it go in one ear, out the other?
Right.
So I would say that you need to do a faith check. You know, it's not enough just to know the Bible. You know, the demons believe and they tremble. So it's not enough just to do that. It's a heart check. That you got to say, look, am I just reading this or am I believing this?
Right.
And you need to have a faith check, and that's a great word, Steve-O.
That's what I had to do, man. It's absolutely what I had to do, and I would challenge you to go find those promises and circle them, man. I've been going through the promises of God again recently, and just, okay, check it out. Proverbs 3:5-6. If I trust in the Lord, you know, if I do these things, this is what happens. You know what I mean? And if God says this, then his word is yes and amen, you know? And
dude,
so we know that his word is yes.
My buddy Dave just texted me and said this. I found if I'm in a place like that, I'm focusing too much on me and not on God and his promises.
Absolutely.
You know, what a great word. I read that, what Dave just said, and it makes me think of what Isaiah says. In the beginning of Isaiah, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Now, that might not mean much to you right now if you're listening to this, but that means that In the darkest time in Israel's history, King Uzziah was an incredibly righteous king. Under the reign of King Uzziah, they saw huge economical growth, huge political growth, huge growth in the kingdom, in their armies, and huge growth spiritually. It was an incredible time in Israel's history. So when King Uzziah died, it was like the end of an era, and Israel was left saying, who's on the throne? Who's king? Who's going to save us? Who's going to help us? And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, so basically, in the worst time of my life, I saw God sitting on the throne,
right,
high and lifted up. And I think that sometimes in the worst times of our lives, we can look at ourselves and say, mm-hmm, well, what's going on? Why am I not doing this? Why am I not feeling this way? And we can look so much to ourselves instead of looking to the throne and saying, look, who's on the throne? Who's the king? Who's those who are high and lifted up? And I think of what Philippians says. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so instead of worrying about these things, instead of focusing on ourselves, looking at our problems, looking at how we feel, and being anxious and fretting, we need to, through prayer and supplication, realize who's on the throne.
Right.
Go to God, go to Jesus Christ, and if we do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all worldly understanding, will guard your heart.
Amen. Dude, thank you for the email.
Yes. Thank you, Dave. That was a great little text.
Absolutely. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O here, along with Pastor Nate Heitzig. If you'd like to give us a call, 505-338-3700. We got a couple questions on Facebook to get to. Real quick, Jason says, what do you think is the best way to start a visual arts program in a church, and do you think that churches should have art in a church?
I don't know. Ask
Con. I was going to say, Con Dang. I don't know the best way to start a visual arts program in the church.
Go talk to your pastor.
But
say,
I think that they
do you
should
want a visual
art?
Arts program in this church?
Yeah.
If he says no, say, okay, cool.
Peace
if
out.
He says yeah, say, awesome, I'd love to help and start that. That's a good way to start.
And do you think churches should have art in church?
Yes,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the ways, that's one of the first ways that that God was glorified in the making of the temple. It says that there was craftsmen, people who were skilled in their ways, in carpentry, in gold, in jewelry, and in art. And those people were used to create the things that were needed for the temple. So I think it's great to use our skills and the art that God's given us to worship Him.
Absolutely. Deanna on Facebook writes in and says, I've been having trouble with church. I've been searching around looking for a church with good worship and good preaching. I found a church with those. However, when I go, no one will talk to me. I drive 45 minutes to get to church to be ignored by everyone who fellowships with each other but me. Is it selfish that I haven't been wanting to participate because of that? Is it selfish? Yes.
It works both ways.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we can go to a church, and I hear this all the time, especially because we're a big church. Calvary Albuquerque, we have, 12,000 members and just a ton of people. And people come and they say, well, I can't get involved. I can't talk to anybody because everyone already knows each other. Okay, well, part of getting to know somebody is putting yourself out there. We can't expect people to just come to us. I mean, of course, a church is there, and we try to have as many people as we can come to people and say, hi, how are you? Is this your first time? But when you have 12,000 people coming through doors, it's hard to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
So part of it is putting yourself out there, looking and saying, what ministries are there at this church that I can get involved on a smaller level? How can I, get involved? One thing we always do at Renovate, which meets on Thursday nights at the Lobo Theater, is we have every single service, I ask anyone if it's their first time. People raise their hands, and then I ask for all my leaders to stand up, and I tell the people, after this service, go find a leader and talk to them. Because it's a lot easier for them to go find a leader, for them to go find somebody and say, hey, this is my first time, and then get to know somebody, than it is for the leader to search out the new people. You know, if you're at this church, people might not recognize that you're new. They might not know that, and so they might not recognize the need to come talk to you and introduce themselves to you. But if you come to somebody in leadership, come to somebody, one of the leaders, one of the people there, and say, hey, this is my first time. I've been coming here. I don't really know anybody. Could you introduce me to people? They'll be more than happy to. So, I think it's really good that sometimes we can put the blame on the church or other people when we're not putting forth the effort ourselves.
Right. And I would say on the flip side of that, if that's what you're seeking, you can find it. You know what I mean? Like, I was stoked. I got to brag on my little bitty church today because the wind caused a power outage. So 10 minutes before worship started, literally, our church was pitch black, and there was a bunch of people in the sanctuary in darkness. And so we all went, all right. And a bunch of the members went out, went into the hallway. We had a bunch of candles, and we lit all the candles. And I just grabbed three worship songs and said, all right, guys, these are the words to these songs, because obviously we didn't have a projector. We didn't have anything. So I used a little flashlight little flashlight app on my phone to illuminate the sheet music.
You mean you didn't memorize it?
No, I did not.
God isn't really there in worship unless you memorize
whatever.
The songs.
And my pastor has an iPad, and so he could see his message. And I mean, it was amazing. Literally in the dark the entire service, an hour and a half. And I love that. So sometimes I do get when people say, "Oh, people don't approach me." But on the flip side of that, dude, maybe you're being unapproachable. Maybe you don't even realize it because you're saying, "Oh, I want people to interact with me, but I'm just sitting here not talking to anybody because I'm wanting them to talk to me." And you do have to get out of your comfort zone.
What did the lights turning off have to do with getting to know people?
Because my church was awesome and we all banded together rather than go, "Psh, this sucks. I'm out of here." Okay. You know what I mean? I was stoked
That's
to see
cool.
people.
I saw your picture that you put on Instagram. It was pretty
neat. Oh, it was great, man. Because it was a lot of people who, you know, we're like a little family kind of church, but at the same time, there's a lot of people where I can say, "Hey, you," I don't know everybody in my church, but it was cool today to see when the lights went out, we didn't scatter. We came together and said, "Okay, Pastor, what can we do? We have 10 minutes till service starts. All right. Okay, we need candles. Okay, who's got a lighter? How many people in here actually smoke? I don't have a lighter."
That's cool. It happened to us one time at Renovate, and we didn't need candles because the glow of the Holy Spirit on
lit
the room.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even like you anymore. Facebook.com/myestaticradio if you'd like to chime in on the conversation.
We have fun.
Oh, you're such a jerk.
I love
you. We
have a good time.
We have a great time. We only have like a minute and a half, so if you'd like to call in, 505-338-3700.
You know, on a random note, what I think is hilarious, Dave Martinez always texts me during shock therapy, and he always like answers questions and asks questions
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, same here.
Via text. Yeah. Instead of just like calling and saying, "Oh, that's great, guys." He like sends it. "Oh, that's hilarious." Or like, I respond to a question. He's like, "Well, I found this." It's like, why don't you call us, Dave?
Yeah, that's
call
like,
us.
I'm getting all of these too.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. Our dear friend Dave, who actually is the head of the Static Radio Street Team. So maybe you're out there and you're wanting to get involved. That's another great way you can get involved. We have a street team here, that God has just put on Dave's heart. He wants to reach out to those in need. And so started this amazing ministry, and you can sign up or send us an email to sign up.
Yeah.
MyStaticRadio.com is the website, and you can get all the information about the street team there. And, and then Dave will inevitably text you instead of call you back.
Yeah. He'll, like, just text you randomly, like, laugh out loud. Ha ha. Ha ha ha.
I love that, man. So anyways, thanks for being a part of Shock Therapy Live. I can't believe it's actually, 7:58.
Yeah.
The music's going to start playing here. Yeah, momentarily. If you missed a portion of the show, of course, you can always go to our website, mystaticradio.com. We podcast every single show where if you've missed a past episode where we actually talked about real things.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Yes, we do.
We like you.
We love our job.
Pretty cool.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I was telling a lot of people about it in Tennessee. Check out our show.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's neat.
Yeah. You ready to go home?
I'm ready to watch The Walking Dead.
I'm ready. And next week we're going to talk to Pastor Nate about horror movies and zombie movies and what they do to your mind.
Everyone likes seeing a zombie get shot in the head every now and then.
I'm still like 3 episodes behind, so don't ruin things for me.
Oh, man.
I know.
Dude,
all right.
That's so sad. Shane dies.
Stop it! I've read the comics, so I already know who takes him out. So, thanks.
Well, then why do you care?
Because it's different. Anyways, Shock Therapy Live every single Sunday night, 7 to 8 p.m. We love you guys. We'll see you next Sunday evening. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got. You want to take us out on your megaphone?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.